you, Amber. Sweet Amber, her and Brian sat in our living room 7 years ago while they were going through premarital counsel. And I was so excited when she told me it's been 7 years because I brought our baby puppy home one night. Erin and I, my sister Erin, we were driving home from Lubbock, and I had wanted another puppy for our other dog, and I thought, he needs a friend. And so we were driving by this house, and this lady had all these puppies, and I said, can I have one of your puppies? And they were half lab, half something else. And she goes, I would love for you to take a puppy. And so I came home with a new puppy, and Brad was not really happy. But because Brian and Amber were there, he was much more kind to me about bringing home a puppy. And so anyway, we were backstage, and she said she'd been married 7 years. I go, sweetie, 7 years old? Like, it goes by so fast. Anyway, what an incredible weekend we've had, and I am just so grateful that you've chosen to spend your Friday night and your Saturday with us. This message that I'm about to teach has literally been on my heart for the last 3 years, and I'm grateful that God has given me the opportunity to share it with you today. And it's a message that God's been teaching me my whole life, and it's a word that crosses every season of my life. It's a word that's always being tested in my day-to-day and in the culture around me. It's a word that speaks to my identity and to my ultimate calling and to the truest desires of my heart. It's the core of who I am. And I know that each of us in here are on a similar journey to find our true self, to be established, like we've been talking about, in our identity. And my prayer for us today is that we would grab hold of this word, the words of Christ, and that we would let them become the truth that we live from, the truth of our identity. So I know we've already prayed, but I got to pray again if I'm going to get through this message. So God, I thank you for your word. I thank you that even right now, God, you're moving in our hearts, God. I thank you that you are here with us. And Father, I pray that ears would be open, God, that hearts would be softened to receive this from you, God, and that we would, as so many others have said today, God, that we would just say yes. In Jesus' name, amen. The title of my message today is Established in Your Identity. And I want you to imagine with me the following scenario. So it's a Saturday morning, not this Saturday because we all got to come here, which is great. It's a Saturday morning of a regular day, and you've got a pile of dishes in front of you, and you're staring out your kitchen window, and all you can think of is your to-do list. So you know that there are beds to make, floors to mop, bills to pay, emails to answer, phone calls to be made. There's babies to hold. There's husbands to encourage. There's yards that need to cared for. The list goes on and on and on. And all of us in here understand the jobs of a woman. And somewhere in the middle of this time, you're standing in front of your dishes and your kitchen sink, you realize that your day is full, it's your day off, it's already full, and you're overwhelmed, and you doubt your ability to really care for your family or your home or to do things the way you think you should. And quickly, in those moments, I've realized that even though there's all these to-do lists and I'm overwhelmed, that this is what I really longed for. The desire of my heart when I was a little girl to be married, to have children, to manage a home. But suddenly the dreams in a little girl's heart and the reality of a grown woman seem complete opposites. And you know, as I quietly whispered my thoughts to God on several occasions while I have sat at my kitchen sink or stood at my kitchen sink with multiple tasks running through my head, God always so gently reminds me of my true calling, my identity, the gift of being a woman that was established in me when he formed me in my mother's womb. Our big idea today is that God's word establishes your identity. And I think that's going to be on the screen. God's word establishes your identity. Our text for this weekend has come from 1 Chronicles 17:23, and I love this verse. It says, "Now, O Lord, let the word that you have spoken concerning your servant and concerning his house be established forever." And like so many have already said, to be established, we must know the word of God and what it has spoken over us. I often think we find ourselves swaying from task to task and feeling to feeling and event to event because we don't understand the word that God has spoken over us. And if you don't know the word of God, you will always sway. You will not be grounded or established. So this afternoon, I'm going to be reading a ton of scripture that is God's word for us as women. And if you long to be established in your identity today, and you long to be securely planted, then I'm asking you to really listen to the words of Christ in these next 30 minutes and to allow him to establish you. So we're going to start at the very, very beginning. In Genesis 2, verse 18, we find this. It says, "Then the Lord God said, 'It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make him a helper, an Azar Knizdu, suitable for him.'" And verse 23 says, "And she shall be called woman because she was taken out of man." The gift of a helper is the first adjective that God uses to describe us as women. The literal translation of Azar Knizdu means lifesaver. This word is only used one other time in Scripture. And it's when God is speaking of himself, and it's in Deuteronomy 33, verse 26, and it says, "There is no one like the God of Jeshurun who rides on the heavens to help you," or Azar Knizdu. So let's be honest with ourselves today. In the moments of despair, when we're staring at our to-do lists, we find ourselves wishing God had made us a helper, not for us to be the helper. Azar Knizdu, a lifesaver. "I will make you a lifesaver." That's what God says about us as women. But somewhere deep within, we realize, even in the midst of that wanting a helper, not to be the helper, somewhere I believe in the core of all of us, we realize our truest desire is to express the beautiful attributes of a woman's heart to this world. So the question today that we find ourselves in, how do we walk in this identity as a woman when all around us, culture is screaming something different? And to be honest, many days we're waiting and wanting to join the crowd and to cry out for our own rights and to blame someone else for where we find ourselves. But I always believe the way through any situation is found in Scripture. So let's take God's word right now and establish our identity in it this afternoon. even if it's challenging. Because we're strong. We're strong women, and we can embrace this word from Christ. So God's design for women is totally different than men's. But even though men and women are totally different and our giftings are different, God sees us equally. In Galatians 4, verse 28, it says, there's neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free man. There's neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ. So in God's eyes, we are equal, yet we have totally unique gifts. So I want to look at six different scriptures today that describe our unique identity that Christ has called us to as women. Now, the first one I've already read, but I'm going to read it again just so that it can kind of soak in, because we all kind of read that verse in Genesis and go, oh. And then you go, there's the preacher's wife up there. Genesis 2:18, then the Lord said, it is not good for the man to be alone. I will make him a helper suitable for him. My sweet, sweet friends, you were made to be a helper suitable for a man. This is in direct relationship to the husband-wife relationship in marriage. The Bible says nothing about who should lead a business or a company. This is how we relate to our husbands from our wedding day on. This truth that I was made to be Brad's helper, his lifesaver, has liberated me in so many ways, y'all. So let's let that soak in. You were created to be a helper suitable for a man. Number two, Genesis 3:16. In pain you will bring forth children, yet your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you. Sweet women of God, you were made to give birth to children and to desire your husband and to be led by him. It's part of our identity. It's part of who God created us to be. It's part of the beauty of the woman's heart that is expressed to this world. Stay with me. Stay with me. 1 Peter chapter 3, 1 through 2. 1 and 2. In the same way, wives, be submissive to your own husbands, so that even if any of them are disobedient to the word, they may be won without a word by the behavior of their wives as they observe your pure and respectful behavior. Friends, we were made to submit to our husbands, to win them without a word, which is sometimes really hard for us who have a lot of words. So that we live in a way that is respectful. You know, I've watched many of you in this room do this very verse, to live this out. In the moments when your husbands were disobedient to the word, you have shown them honor and you have won them because of your respectful behavior and because of your submission to them. And I want to tell you today that you're the real heroes in this room. You really are, and you should feel that pride and that strength in you, that in those moments when you knew that there was some disobedience in our husbands, because there is in all of them, nobody's perfect. I mean, Brad and I are probably the most dysfunctional people in this room on some days, not every day. Lots of days we shine, but some days we're like crazy. But when I choose to really win Brad with my respectful behavior, it changes everything. Changes everything. 1 Peter 3:3-6. We're talking about our true identity in Christ today. Established in our identity as women who express the attributes and the beauty of Christ. I love this verse, 1 Peter 3, 3 through 6. And now let your adornment, and let not your adornment be merely external, braiding the hair and wearing good jewelry or putting on dresses, but let it be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable truth, the imperishable quality of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is precious in the sight of God. For in this way, in former times, the holy women also, who hoped in God, used to adorn themselves, being submitted to their own husbands. Thus Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, and you have become her child if you do what is right without being frightened by fear. Wow, there's a lot in that scripture, and I want us to look at the end and work our way up. So in this scripture, we see that we were made to do what was right according to the scriptures without being frightened by fear. And we all know, like Becca said earlier, that fear is a huge enemy of ours. I know women that are just almost like overcome by fear and can't make decisions based on fear. But we are God's children. We are daughters of Sarah when we have not been overtaken by fear. And when we are obedient to the word of Christ. You see, this is the scheme of the enemy. Fear is exactly what feminism is based on. As a woman, you will never accomplish God's will and express your true identity if you're controlled by fear. You see, submission to my husband is about me trusting God, not about whether Brad deserves it. Brad will never measure up enough to deserve submission. Neither will your husband. Me submitting to Brad is based on my obedience to God's word. Now, we need to stop here for a little bit because sometimes we get confused and overwhelmed with the word submission. And a lot of times it's been used incorrectly. And I want to tell you today that submission is throughout the Bible. It's not just about wives submitting to husbands. You know, in 1 Peter, it actually tells us to submit to the Lord and to submit to those in authority. And then the book of Ephesians tells us to be submitted to each other in the fear of Christ. And then both Ephesians and 1 Peter talk about wives submitting to their husbands. So I want to tell you tonight or today, whatever time of day it is, it's dark in here. I don't know. We need some windows. Not really. I want to tell you, though, this afternoon that submission is something the Lord asks women to do. But submission is about being under a vision or direction. Okay, so ultimately we live in submission to God. And because of that, God would never ever want you to do something that is unbiblical. And so if your husband or someone in authority is asking you to do something unbiblical, that's not submission. Submission is about a vision and direction, and it's inspired by the word of God. And so if you're in an unhealthy relationship, you know, come see one of the pastor's wives and let's talk about it. I don't ever want you to think that you just go and do whatever your husband tells you to do, because sometimes we're living in abusive relationships. And so that's not godly submission. But there are a lot of us in this room today that have godly husbands, have men who show up every morning for Bravehearts, who show up to church every week. And we have a hard time just fold in their clothes with a good attitude. I mean, let's just be honest. You know, one of my favorite stories is when the Lord really challenged me. At the time, I was a stay-at-home wife, and Brad was really busy with his obligations, and he asked me one day, he said, "Hey, Julie, could you just make sure the kids get vitamins in the morning?" And I just was like, "What? You're not able to get the kids vitamins? Like, who made you God?" You know? I mean, that's what came out of my heart. And it was just a simple request on Brad's part. Like, hey, you know, you're the one getting the kids ready in the morning. You're the one taking them to school. I mean, we buy all these vitamins. I mean, if you come to my house, I got this big old bowl of vitamins. Could you make sure the kids get their vitamins in the morning? And of course, you know, because I'm a nice wife, I said, yes. And in my heart, I was like, man, he's got a lot of nerve. You know, he thinks I should do maybe he should do the vitamins if it's that important to him, you know? Oh, Jesus, forgive us. Genesis 20 tells us this incredible story that is just so convicting to me. It's the story of Sarah and Abraham. And in this story, Abraham actually gives Sarah, his wife, to a king. And Sarah obeyed her husband. And she is considered as one of the great heroes of our faith for her act of submission. Now, it's important here to know that God protected Sarah. But if we have fear in our heart concerning God's word and what that word asks of us, what God asks of us, we will never be able to express the feminine heart and the feminine beauty of Christ to this world. If we're unable to surrender to this place of submission and let go of our fear, we will stay, I promise you women, we will stay in lack, longing for position, and unsatisfied. And I would just challenge you today, if you feel that, if you feel in your heart right now, I'm lacking, I'm unsatisfied, and I'm always needing position, I would ask you to ask God, "God, am I submitted to my husband?" Because Sarah obeyed because of God. And she, man, that's challenging. You see, the act of submission to our husbands is always a beautiful picture of our identity. Beautiful picture. Okay, so next in that scripture that we read, it said, "A gentle and quiet spirit is precious in the sight of God and shows the world a picture of godliness." And you go, "Oh gosh, Julie, I'm a loudmouth. I'm sure not a gentle and quiet spirit." And I want to challenge you and I want to remind you, this is a quiet spirit, not a quiet mouth. In fact, Ephesians 4:15 says that we're to speak the truth in love. And women, today, it is important for you to speak up. You have valuable things to share. And it's important for you to have a relationship with your husband and with others where you're able to express your feelings and the things God's put on your heart and the truth that God is imparting to you. It's important to be able to go to your husband at times and say, "You know what, I didn't like how you treated me. Can we talk about that?" So this verse is not a quiet mouth, it's a quiet spirit. And when you approach your husband, you approach him with respect in a quiet spirit. That is so powerful. When I go to Brad and I say, "Hey, I feel like we need to talk about this. That's a lot different than me going to Brad and saying, rah, 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 rah. Right? Which I've been known to do that. I've been known to follow him out the door, rah, 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 you know? And you think he really is going to respond to that? I mean, come on, we've all done it. So it's a gentle and quiet spirit that's precious in the sight of God and shows the world a picture of godliness. Verse 3 of that passage that we just read in 1 Peter, it says, not merely adorn yourself with fixing your hair, wearing nice clothes and jewelry. Friends, it does not say not to do that at all. Those are the things that we put on the outside. A godly woman's identity is also expressed when we care for ourselves, our bodies, when we fix up. Friends, makeup helps. Jewelry helps. Nice clothing helps. Do yourself a favor. I promise you will feel better as a person if you will take care of this outward body. You know, I think sometimes we think that it's, you know, oh, I need to pray and, you know, spend my time in meditation. And yes, that's valuable. But the scripture says that wasn't the only thing she took care of. It didn't say she didn't take care of it at all. Some of you in here need to hear that and say, you know what? It's important for me to fix my hair and wear makeup and present myself in a way that is appealing, because you have a beauty to express to this world that is unique and godly. And you shouldn't be ashamed of that. I know some of us in here have had experiences, and so it's just easier to shut off that outward beauty because you think that that might attract bad behavior from the opposite sex. And you don't need to do that today. Don't be frightened by fear. Embrace this quality that God speaks to us through his word. A godly woman's identity is expressed when we choose to take care of our bodies. Don't reject outward beauty. Balance it with the beauty of your heart. 1 Peter 3:7, this is the fifth verse I want to read. Your husbands, likewise, live with your wives in an understanding way, as with a weaker vessel, since she is a woman, and grant her honor as a fellow heir of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. Friends, it's okay. We're the weaker vessel. Can we just, like, say okay to that? What do we have to prove here? Nothing. You're the weaker vessel, and that's okay. But this verse also tells us that we are heirs, someone with legal rights to the kingdom of God. And it also says when our husbands don't show us honor, their prayers are hindered. That's how important God sees us. So don't be deceived, like Becca said, by those little half-truths. Oh, I can't be the weaker vessel. The scriptures are clear. We're the weaker vessel. And that's okay. That does not degrade us. God sees us equal in his kingdom. But you don't have to do everything your husband does or that men do in this society. We weren't created to. Just even physically, our bodies weren't made to handle the things that they were made to handle. And some of you today just need to embrace that and go, I can be the weaker vessel. It's okay. I can't do as much as Brad does. I can't keep up with his pace. I think even studies show that women need more sleep than men, and I can testify to that. You know, God made our bodies different. They're beautiful and unique and according to the scriptures, and it's okay. And you know what? Sometimes men, have to be taught that, because I think sometimes our society wants to make us equal in so many ways that even our men think that we should be able to keep up with them, and sometimes they can even kind of shame us that we're not able to do as much as they do. And so if that's the case, just talk about it. Say, you know what, I'm not able to do that. You don't have to prove anything today. Let's look at one more passage of scripture that speaks to our identity as a woman of God. Titus 2, verse 3 through 5. Older women, likewise, are to be reverent in their behavior, not malicious gossips, not enslaved to much wine. Hey, it's not funny. I mean, I know it's funny, but it is sad to me how many women, and unfortunately probably in this room, that find your comfort in a bottle of wine. It's not right, and I'll just say it like it is, and I'm sorry. I hope I don't offend anybody, but it's not. It's not right. It's not right. It's not right that we joke about it. It's not right that we pretend that our identity is in the wine after a hard day. It's not helping you. It's not helping your family. It's not helping our community. It's not helping the body of Christ. So anyway, I'm going to get off my rocker on that. Now you know how I feel. Okay, let's start over. Older women, likewise, are to be reverent in their behavior, not malicious gossips, not enslaved to much wine, teaching what is good, that they may encourage the younger women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be sensible, pure workers at home, kind, being subject to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be dishonored. This verse sums up what my identity as a woman of God looks like. A woman who has embraced the calling to be a helper suitable for her husband. She realizes the truth of the scriptures that is more blessed to give than to receive. She chooses to serve and to live the example of Christ, who said, "Whoever wishes to be the greatest among you shall be your servant, and whoever wishes to be the first among you shall be your slave, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many." You know, I realize that as I read those scriptures, and I know I kind of got worked up there for a little bit, and I apologize. You would be so surprised at how many people Brad and I meet with that struggle with alcoholism, and it just breaks my heart, because our culture has put this almost like an acceptable thing for us as women, and it's just sad to me. So, but I just want to say that as I read these scriptures, if in you already you're like, "That's not going to work for me, Julie," and you're telling yourself in your head, you know, I don't measure up, I want you to realize that that's the subtle influence of the enemy. And he wants to rob from you your identity, because if this is what God says about us, if this is his word to us, then we can walk in it. We can be established in it. You see, when we want to believe those little lies like, "Oh, I don't know, Julie, I don't know if I could really be his helper. I don't know if I could really love my family and love my children. And I don't really know if I can submit." I want you to know that in that moment, you're not acting much different than Eve. You see, in the garden, Eve had the Jesus with her, and she chose the knowledge of good and evil. You see, right now, we have the words of life right in front of us. And yet, often we believe the lie that God's holding out on us. God's not holding out on you, friend. It's right here. It's just something we have to grab hold of. I recently saw this meme, and it spoke volumes to me. They're going to put it up on the screen. It says, "Feminism isn't about making women stronger. Women are already strong." It's about changing the way the world perceives that strength. Unfortunately, many women think they need to be acknowledged for their strength. And that's part of the enemy's scheme, to make us believe that we're the victims, when in reality, God is the one who promotes us at the proper time, not ourselves. 1 Peter 5:6. So how others perceive us should never be our goal in life. Our goal in life should be to live in a way that's captured by the love and the words of Christ, to be established in his identity. I want to read that again. Our goal in life should be to live in a way that is captured by the love and the words of Christ, to be established in our identity. You see, feminism teaches us that we need to fight for our rights, that we deserve a position or to live a certain way that is acknowledged by all. This contradicts the scriptures. In fact, James 4:4 should challenge all of us when thinking about our culture and its fight for feminism. James 4:4 says, "Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God." You see, the identity that Christ gives us is that we were created to be a helper to our husbands, to love our children, care for our homes, that submission is about trusting God and his word and living without fear, that the greatest in life is the servant of all, and that when we see ourselves from this place of surrender, true godliness is established in our hearts, and this is the key, peace resides. So many of us are without peace. You see, transformation then comes to ourselves first and then to the world around us. So no matter where you find yourself on the spectrum today, no matter where you find yourself, maybe you are, you know, way over here and you're like, yes, Julie, I'm submissive. I'm good with being a helper. You know, maybe you're like, yeah, I care for my family. I love my kids. I'm here. I'm good, Julie. And I'll be honest with you, for a lot of years, I felt comfortable in this. And it was probably like in my outward ability to do this. Does that make sense? Like, I mean, for the most part, I'm pretty submissive to Brad. I do like to help him. I've kind of embraced that. You know, I love our kids. I take care of our home. I try to fix up. I mean, I'm known to wear some ungodly leggings occasionally. I try not to be too mouthy I don't know about that. I'm good with being the weaker vessel, you know, all those things we've talked about. But a few years ago, I found myself listening to Focus on the Family, and if any of y'all know me, you know I love Focus, and I listen to it a lot, and there was a guy on there talking about respect for your husband. And y'all, I found myself in a puddle on our bed. I was laying face down, bawling my eyes out, because what I realized was that I'm a lot of times good at making this a checklist, but yet something in my heart wasn't really good with respecting Brad. You know, and I just realized that the way that I spoke and thought about Brad wasn't very helpful. And so, you know, doing the right thing isn't what this is about. I mean, you can take this list and you can go make it a checklist, but that's not what this is about. That's never what Christ is about. Christ has never been about a checklist. Christ is about a relationship. Christ is about our heart. So some of us in here, you know, Maybe you've never even thought about this. Maybe you've never thought about what your identity as a woman is. Maybe you're like, I'm not even married, Julie. Even if you're not, these are still attributes to put on and to soak in and to receive. So, and maybe some of you in here are just like, whatever, girl. I'm a woman, hear me roar. I mean, I don't know where you are. I really don't. Only you know where you are. But I know that the path of godliness, the path of surrender, the path of embracing God's word, the path of our identity as women who express the beauty of Christ will always liberate us. And some of you today just need to get on that path. I had a young girl come into call the office one time. I mean, this was probably 5 years ago. And she wanted to meet with me. And so, you know, we set up a time to come. And she was young and recently married. And probably within the last 5 years, she'd married. And she had two small children at home. And she was very overwhelmed and an unsaved spouse. And working full time, and in her mind, you know, she had legitimate reasons to walk out. You know, her husband wasn't real attentive to her. He'd come home from work and lay on the couch, and she worked all day too, and they had small children, and you know, and there she is with all of her responsibilities as a mom and a wife and a woman. And, you know, and I think that in those moments, sometimes the voice of our culture is louder than the voice of the scriptures. And I literally, you know, Brad and I have been married 22 years, and I literally sat there and listened to her. And I said, sweetie, you think you don't have any help now? You walk out that door and you really don't have any help. Now you're a single mom with two babies. You know, and I know that sounds harsh, but I said, you know what? The scripture is true. You can win your unbelieving husband without a word. And I believe that. But friends, if we're not able to take that scripture and really believe it, we'll never change our culture. And we'll have young couples giving up way too quick because it feels way too hard. And I told her, I said, this book helped me, this book helped me, this book helped me, this broadcast helped me, this helped me. She left my office with a stack of books this big, and I said, friend, if you want a good marriage, do the hard work. And I mean, I feel like I'm kind of like, have a lot of passion about this, but I do because sisters in Christ, we have a big job to do, and it's not through feminism. It is through being a feminine heart that expresses Christ's love and our uniqueness to this world. Do not give in to the lies of the enemy. We cannot do this alone, just like Becca said. We need encouragement. We need each other standing next to us. We need to say, you have what it takes to love your husband right now. You have what it takes to pray through this time. But if we're not being that to our sister, if we're not encouraging her in the scriptures, we'll just be like our culture. And we will look no different than anybody else. And I don't think that's what any of us in here want. So I want to leave you with this. I want to leave you with this, and then we're going to head into discussion time, and don't throw stones at me on the way out. This is a challenging word, but it has brought so much freedom to me, and I just want you guys to hold on to it. I don't want you to get offended or upset. I want you to just soak it in and receive it for what it is, the scripture, without any justifications. I wrote this a few weeks ago, and I sent it to some of my dear friends, and I said, hey, I feel like I want to close with this. What do y'all think? And so here it is. They all approved, so I get to read it to you. True love liberates. True love. Not feminism, not good works, but true love. God's love. The love of the cross. The love that died for you and me. The love that sees you, knows you, and is whispering your name. That love liberates. That love sets the captives free. That love satisfies our deepest longings. That love liberates you to be who you've called to be. True love, not of this world, the supernatural love of Christ. My friends, he's here. Let his love liberate you. Let's pray. God, in these moments, I just hear that song, God, I look to you. I'll not be overwhelmed. Give me vision to see things like you do. God, I look to you. You're where my help comes from. Show me what to do. God, in this room full of women who I know desire you, I know that we all long to know you more, to sit in your presence, God, to be captured by your love. I know that's our heart, God, and so I just pray that right now, God, as these words have gone out, as your word has gone forth, God, that it would begin to liberate our hearts. God, that it would begin to be established in the core of our being, God, that we wouldn't make excuses or justifications, God, for living outside of your word, God, but that we would be brave and we would be courageous. There would be women who say yes to these truths in your scriptures, God. God, I even pray, God, for those that aren't married right now, God, that they would, in their hearts, God, say, yes, I was created to be a helper. God, that they would, even as Ruth laid at Boaz's feet, God, that they would be bold enough to serve and to help. God, I pray for us that are married, God, or that are training younger women, God. Maybe we're widows or divorced, God. Whatever season we find ourselves in, Father, that we would teach those around us, God, the principles of your truth. That what comes from our mouth, God, would be those things that are true and noble and according to your scripture, God. God, that we wouldn't be swayed, God, by this culture around us. God, that we wouldn't look for a position or to be promoted, God, but that we would serve. Thank you, God. God, I pray right now, Lord, whatever area that we're struggling with as women, whatever thing it is, God, that we're having a hard time saying yes to, whether it's that we're the weaker vessel or that we're to fix up and take care of our outward appearance. Or God, if it's our gentle and quiet spirit, whatever it is, God, whatever quality it is that you've called us to, Lord, God, just give us the courage to ask for help right now, God. To ask those around us to join hands, God, to link arms and to agree with each other concerning these truths. God, thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you for these great women that I get to call friends, God. In Jesus' name, amen.